I'm going to turn to 1 Peter 2 and 9. I don't have time to warm up, I guess, here tonight, so I'm just going to start out hot. Is that all right? My, it feels good in the house of the Lord. 1 Peter 2 and 9. Somebody here needs to hear this. But ye are a chosen generation. Turn to your neighbor and say, he chose me. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Now you can turn to your neighbor now and say, you're a peculiar person. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. Do you remember when it was a little bit dark in your life? Do you remember when you couldn't seem to see what tomorrow could hold? Or maybe possibly what even the day that you were living in was going to be? When he called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, you should show forth the praises of the one who has done that. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody's going to get a blessing in this place tonight. It might just be me, but someone is going to get a blessing. My, my, my. How many of us came here tonight in search of a blessing from God? How many of you here came here in need of something from God? I'm talking about serious needs. When we come to the house of God, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I need something from God. And you can't seem quite to think about what it is. God bless you this morning. And you think, well, yeah, I'll use blessings, God. I'm talking about individuals that when you got up this afternoon and you was preparing yourself for church, it seemed like the enemy fought you. Every single button of your shirt, every single loop of your tie, it seemed like the enemy just said, hey, you know what? You got to stop. But somehow you made it into his presence. That's the people I'm talking about. Who needs a blessing from God? From the beginning of the church, people have come to the house of God expecting and searching for answers to life's everyday trials and tribulations. Maybe you're searching for hope, or maybe it's joy, maybe it's faith. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the devil can't take something that's not his. You didn't hear me. The devil can't have something that is not his to take. If the enemy didn't give you joy, then he can't take it away. If the enemy didn't give you peace, then the enemy can't take it away. I wish a young person would hear me right now that's battling with your mind, thinking maybe I'm not worth anything. Maybe I'm worthless. Listen, my God created you for such a time as this, and you're worth it. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar and the father of lies. He will try to scare you away from your blessing. He will try to tell you that you are not good enough to be blessed. But I'm here to tell you tonight that his blessing is already here. His anointing is already here. The miracle is on time. The miracle that God has planned for you is here waiting tonight on you. Now, what did you come to this place to do? To receive or to grieve? I don't know about you, but I'm here to receive something from God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight as I endeavor to preach a message simply entitled this: Quit Messing with the Blessing. Quit messing with the blessing. Let's ask God right now to bless. And I want each and every individual in this place to lift your voice. I want you to pray so loud that it's hard to hear what I'm about to say when I'm talking to God, because we need a miracle to transpire in this house here tonight. Mighty God. Mighty God, come on men, lift your voice. Come on ladies, lift your voice. Come on young people, lift your voice. Mighty God, Lord, we're in your house, in your presence, dear Jesus, calling upon you, dear God, to do a mighty work amongst your people, dear Jesus. Lord, to heal the broken, to bless the sick, dear God, right now, by your perfect will and plan, dear God. We call upon the name that's above every other name, the name that when we mention it, demons tremble, oh God, in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you love being in the presence of God, clap your hands as you're seated right now. But promise not to stay there too long. There are two types of blessings. Number one is the blessing you yourself could be for someone in need, aka witnessing. Letting someone know that they too can be an overcomer. We talked about it this morning. Our faith is risen. Our faith rises when we hear the testimony of our brothers or the brothers. We hear the testimonies of our sisters. Our faith begins to rise. Sometimes God places us in certain trials so that we can get through, so that we can be a testimony to the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. How many here can testify to the healing power of God? How many here can testify to the overcoming authority of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Number two, the different type of blessing that we can be is the blessing that God, the different blessings that we can get is the blessing that God can give to you. Overcoming power, the joy, the peace, and the faith that comes through the Holy Ghost. In order to be a blessing to someone, we have to recognize our own conditions. If Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, then what should we be doing? I'm talking tonight to a great crowd of individuals here at Landmark. But I also see a multitude of seats that are still empty. And as I look at these seats that are empty, I see the faces of individuals that once graced this sanctuary, that once found themselves at an altar of repentance, that once found themselves on their knees crying out to a God that could heal and meet their needs and did it time and time and time again. And I see these empty seats and I wonder, where have they gone? I wonder, at this exact moment in time, where are they? What are they doing? Are they even thinking possibly about what God is doing here on this hill? It is God's perfect plan and desire to challenge each and every one of us to hit the streets and begin to find those that are lost and hurting. Before I go any further, let me say this. This church will not grow because of a good message from behind this pulpit. This church will grow because it has ambassadors for Christ. Those that are willing to go and those that are willing to find. I expected it to be quiet there for just a moment. This church will grow when individuals begin to remember and recognize, as I said this morning, what God has done for them and what God can do for those. There are people out there right now that are going through trials and tribulations in their life that you already have become a conqueror over. You faced it, you fought it, you got through it, now you're on the other side. And there's others that are looking and thinking, I can never be victorious, I can never win this fight, I can never win this battle. And they're waiting on someone to stand their ground and say, listen, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was in your position, but I hit my knees one day at a time of prayer and I called out to God and He met me there. If you're just here so that people can see you, just so you can say that I'm here and this is all I'm planning on doing. The enemy has already placed his hands upon your blessing. But if you are here to lift up the name of Jesus, to reach a lost and dying generation, to do whatever God leads you to do, then you are putting a fear in the mind of the enemy. You're putting a fear in the heart of the enemy that's telling him he can't mess with your blessing. He can't touch your blessing. There is nothing more powerful than a Holy Ghost-filled saint of God drawing a line with a made-up mind saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You need to hear what I'm saying right now. I said there is nothing more powerful than a man of God or a godly lady to begin to draw a line in the sand that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Recognize that the Word of God doesn't say that as just for me. I'm not worried about the ones that are in my house. I'm not worried about my children. I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about my family. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. No, no, no. It's talking about the ones that can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me be a youth pastor right now and talk to a mom and a dad. When little Johnny says, hey, I don't feel like going to the church today because we got a basketball game, you need to grab that little man up by the arm and say, as for me and my house, you're in my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go to His house and we're going to magnify His name. We're going to glorify His name. We're going to exalt His name. You see, I believe that one of my biggest problems when I was growing up was that I had a big drug problem. Every single day I was drugged to church. from the time of a young age, I was drugged to church. Had a massive drug problem. And then when I thought that it was all over for me and I didn't have to have a drug problem anymore, I was able to do it by myself. My brother all of a sudden developed a drug problem. Mom and Dad would wake us up in the morning and they'd say, hey, you know what? They didn't say it this way. They didn't say, come on, kids, get ready. We got to go to church. They would say, come on, young people. Come on, kids, let's get up. It's time we get to go to church. We get to see what God is going to do. And could it be, Mom, that by you waking me up that way every single morning, that today, that's the reason I stand here excited. What is God going to do in this place here tonight? Is he going to heal somebody? Is he going to call a young man to the ministry? Is he going to develop a Bible study? In someone who's never taught a home Bible study, there's an excitement that's in the air because long ago someone said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I get a kick out of seeing or hearing the stories. I travel quite a bit, and I get to hear stories. And I get a kick out of hearing parents sometimes in other churches in other areas that say, you know what, Brother Carson, Brother Marshall, I just don't know what to do. I don't know. I got my son is 6 years old, and he just doesn't want to go to church. What do I do? Yeah, you can laugh. You know what you do. My son is he's 7 years old. He doesn't want to go to church. I don't know what to do. Grab that young man up, look at him in the face, and say, listen, this is something that you might not want to do right now, but I'm going to prove to you and I'm going to show you that there's a God that loves you. And not only does he love you, but he wants to use you. You see, there's a devil out there, Landmark, and hear me now, right now. There's a devil out there that is desiring your blessing. And when I say that he's trying to get your blessing, I'm not talking about monetary gain. I'm not talking about a dollar. The devil could care less about your finances. What he wants is your family. I wish I had a little bit more support right now. I wish I had some people that would begin to jump to their feet right now and understand that we're in a war right now because there is an enemy out there that wants to rob you of your blessing. But I'm here to serve notice right now on the enemy that you are going to quit messing with my blessing. Because when my children grow and when they're of age and they're going to stand on this platform or they're going to teach on Bible studies, they're going to be used in Sunday school, whatever the case may be, whatever God may call them to do. But that is the key to my children. Whatever God has called them to do, that's what they'll do. Because at a young age, I'm going to grab hold of them and I'm going to say, as for me and my house, I wish some people would understand with me right now that you have the voice of proclamation. You have the voice of overcoming power and authority. You have the ability to look at your children. You have the ability to look at your finances even. You have the ability, can I go further, and say you've got the ability to look at your sickness and call it out and say, as for me and my house. You see, we've got the ability in our voice. We've got the ability to call out the enemy that is trying to attack our blessings. And we have the ability to bind the hands of the enemy. Whatever God leads you to do, then you are putting a fear in the mind of the enemy that's telling him he can't mess with your blessing. There is nothing more powerful than a Holy Ghost-filled saint of God drawing a line. This is a result of prayer. This is a result of prayer. It's not a result of going to church once every month or so. It's a result of steadfast prayer. This is a result of fasting. This is a result of every now and then pushing the plate aside and saying, no. I've got to get deeper. I've got to get a deeper dedication and walk with Almighty God because I need more and more and more and more. I don't know about you, but I haven't arrived yet to where God wants me to be, and I haven't arrived yet to where the way God wants to use me. And so I constantly strive and I constantly push to become everything that God wants me to be. And when the day comes that I meet my Maker face to face, that will be the day that I arrive. But if I live to the age of 110, I will have never arrived to what God has called me to be. Dedication and renovation is something that's in someone's spirit. But also there's nothing more depressing than hearing someone say, I just don't see the point. I have tried and tried and tried, and I still feel defeated. I still feel sad. I still feel depressed. If you're in the presence of a Holy Ghost-filled church, I'm going to slow down here for just a minute. If you're in the presence of a Holy Ghost-filled church and the saints of God and you are saying that, then you didn't try anything. Because the moment you decide to lift your hands, not because everybody else is doing it, but because you are sick of all the messing, when the joy of the Lord is going to sweep all over you, it's going to sweep all over you, and you will not be able to help but see a winning battle. I'm sick and tired of hearing individuals saying, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know how to overcome. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I have talked to God about it. I have prayed about it. I have fasted about it. If that was the case, then you'd be seeing victory right now. And I wish someone would just recognize that when you throw your hands in the air, there's an enemy out there that when he sees you, as soon as this hand leaves the position here and begins to reach out to heaven in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your tribulation, there's something that happens in the spiritual realm. The enemy sees it and thinks, oh my goodness, no, what's happening? What's going on? What's taking place? I'll tell you what's happening. Someone is beginning to walk on the water. They're walking on their circumstance. They're walking on their trial. They're walking on their worry. They're walking on their fear, because we know that just on the other side, I'm going to meet him face to face, and he's my overcomer. He's my blessing. Come on. He lifts me up when I'm down. He brings me in when I'm out. He touches me when I feel like there's no one else around. He hears me when I cry. He hears my prayer. He meets me there. I'm talking about a God that is still meeting the needs of his people. The joy that you feel when you lift up his name is not something that you have got to wait till Sunday to feel. It's something that will make you stop alongside of the road and get out of your car and let some Holy Ghost loose as you hold a sign in the devil's face saying, quit messing with my blessing. I remember a few times growing up as a child riding with mom and dad, and I remember a couple times that they had to pull over and begin to worship God because the Holy Ghost invaded that car. Listen, this isn't something that you have to wait until the man of God says, hey, these altars are open. The presence of God is here in this place. I'm talking about a dedication that devours you even when you're outside of the church, to the point that you say, you know what? I can't do anything else right now. I've got to lift up his name. I appreciate the one hand clap right there, because we are in the house of God and it's a little bit easier to worship God here. But what are we doing when we're outside of the house of God and he begins to knock on your door saying, where are you? We haven't talked in a while. We haven't spoken in a while. I need you right now. There's someone over here that's hurting. There's someone over here that's hungry. There's someone over here that's waiting. I'm tired of the enemy messing with our blessing. I'm tired of the enemy causing people to believe that they're defeated. I'm tired of the enemy causing people in the house of God to begin to think that it's all over, when it's not over until my God says that it's over. I'm going to say that again. It's not over until my God says that it's over. I got a call from a young person today we hadn't seen in quite some time, backslidden for a good long time. And I received a phone call from him today, rather my wife did. And I'm sitting beside her in the car, and I heard my wife begin to talk. And all of a sudden, I could hear over the phone, I could hear the cry, and I could sense the Holy Ghost. I could sense that she was crying and that when wailing. And I couldn't help it. It was so loud that I heard it over the phone. And all they were asking for was, I need prayer. I need prayer. I need a mighty move of God right now. I need something to happen right now. You see, there was this incident. There was this accident. And I don't know what to do, Brother Carson. I don't know what to do, Sister Amanda. But I know one thing. I remember what God did when we called upon his name. So can you call upon him right now? We told him, we said, yeah, we can call upon him. But you know what? I want you to do something. I want you to stir up the gift of God that's within you. I want you to dig deep within you right now and begin to stir up that special anointing that God gave a long, long, long time ago, and begin to stir up the gift of God and let something come out of you that allows the enemy to see that we're beginning a work here. We're beginning a process here that we're going to begin to tell the enemy, hey, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you messing with my blessing. I'm sick and tired of you trying to take me where I shouldn't be. I'm sick and tired of you trying to take me into areas that I wasn't designed to be. I'm sick and tired of you trying to make me feel defeated and down and all out when I should be in. I'm sick and tired of the enemy placing his hands upon me. I'm sick and tired of the enemy messing with my blessing. Young person, hear me closely. Don't let the devil get his paws into something that he has no right messing with. Don't let him try to destroy something so powerful in your future. Don't let him begin to speak lies to you to the point that you begin to believe that it's okay to act this way. It's okay to talk this way. It's okay to go and visit these places. It's okay to hang out with these individuals. It's okay to be in the world. It's okay to rub elbows with these individuals. Listen, you can be in the world and not infected by the world, because when God calls you out from among them, he calls you into greatness, and he calls you into a special ability that is power through the Holy Ghost. Don't let the enemy mess with your blessing. Me and my wife have been involved in youth ministry now here for going on 8 years. From the very beginning, I prayed. I said, God, I said, send young people with a passion. Send young people with a burning desire. Send young people, oh God, that have a desire to walk with you. Not only be touched by you, oh God. Not only receive a blessing every now and then, oh God. But I'm talking about young people that will cry out to you when they're by themselves. I'm talking about young people, oh God, that when they step into their schools, they will turn it upside down for the glory of God. Listen, young people, it's a lie from the enemy to try to make you think that you got to be the coolest person in your school. You don't have to be the coolest person in your school. You just got to be the one that turns it upside down. Because when you graduate, hear me now, you're not going to see those people anymore. And the devil tried to lie to you to try to make you think that, hey, this is the most important thing in life. You've got to give it everything that you have. You've got to play the sports. You've got to act that way. You've got to talk that way. You've got to date that boy. You've got to date that girl. Because if you don't, people are going to look at you strange. But I'm talking about a God that sees you right now. Graduated in 2006, and I can honestly say that from 2006, I maybe have seen about 10 or 12 individuals that I graduated with. Young people, right now is the time. If I'm not mistaken, we have more graduating this year than I believe that we have in the past. There is just a small gap of time for a young person to step into their school and begin to say, you know what? Right now is my time. Right now is my chance. I got to do this thing. I got to turn this place upside down. There are young people out there that are hurting. There are young people out there that are hungry. I know I tell this story a lot, but it's my story, and it's the blessing that God gave me. When I was in high school, there was a young man there that I witnessed to constantly trying to get him to come to the house of God, but it just seemed like nothing was ever grabbing his attention. I gave it everything I had. He was one of the cool guys in the school, and he tried his absolute best to retain that look. Graduation came and went, and I continued to follow the will of God and found myself in jail ministry, where my ministry began. I stood inside of a jail cell with a home Bible study chart, scared to death about what I was surrounded by, because when you expect to go into a jail, you pray to the good Lord that they are locked behind bars. Amen. Can I get an amen? I didn't know that when they are in the jail, they have specific times to where they have the chance to get out and walk around. And that was the time where they allowed the ministry to come in. I don't know if they got a good kick out of it. So I'm walked in the door, Bible study chart under arm, and don't know about you, but I'm not one of the tallest people in the church. And stood there amongst all these individuals and began to teach this home Bible study chart, and all of a sudden you hear, doors, click, 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 click. And you think, that can't be good. And I turned around looking at my door to hear if it was clicking, and my door wasn't clicking. They locked me in good. And all of a sudden, inmates began to push open the doors and come walking towards me. And I thought, well, this is it. I have fought a good fight, or I'm about to fight a good fight. And in the midst of all of that, I heard someone crying. It wasn't a wailing, it wasn't a scream, but rather it was just a light, almost like a whimper, just crying. And it drew my attention to it, and I began to look through the crowd, and I began to look on the second level, and all of a sudden I saw a jail cell door that was open, but the individual that was in it wasn't coming out. They were sitting in their bed, and I walked up to it, and lo and behold, when that person looked at me, it was that young man that I had been witnessing to at school. And I said, "What are you doing in here?" He looked at me and said, "I was going to ask you the same question." I said, "I'm here to teach the word of God." He said, "Well, I guess I'm here to receive it." He said, "You tried, you talked, you reached, but I didn't listen." He said, "You didn't know that when I was putting a smile on my face and trying to act like everything was just perfectly fine and cool and I was just living the dream, that when I went home, my dream became a nightmare. All I had was my school. All I had was those sports. All I had was those friends that I thought was going to be with me through thick and thin. That's all I had. And so I gave it everything I had just for that little bit of time. He said, but now I realize that there was something more that I needed. Young people, hear me right now. Hear your youth pastor. If you begin to call out to God and to pray, I'm talking about sincere, heartfelt prayer. God can do something for you. He can begin to open up your spiritual eyes to where when you walk in the school that you will begin to see those that are hurting. You'll be able to look past their smile and you will see that when they go home, they're hungry. When they go home, they're lost. When they leave the school, that's it. That's all over. It's finished. It's done. And I'm looking at young people right now that you might not even realize it, but you are living on a timeline. You only have just a little bit of time left. The ones that have been rubbing shoulders with you and the ones that have been laughing with you, the ones that have been talking with you, they are waiting on you to simply do one thing, and that's be what God has called you to be, to seek and to save that which is lost. There needs to be young people sitting in this empty chair. There needs to be a young person sitting in this empty chair. Young people, I have a dream that this whole row can be filled with young people that need God. But if we can't step past ourselves, I'm talking to young people, but I'm about to go to the rest of the church right now. Hear me, mom and dad. Hear me, saint of God. If we can't step past ourselves, if we can't keep looking for a blessing every single time we come to the house of God, pastor, pray for me. I need something. I know I've been in the house of God for 10 years, but I need something again. I need a blessing again. I need this again. I need that again. No, no, no. If we can turn around and place our nose towards those that are hurting, let me ask you, the reason that you're here is because someone decided that, you know what, God's blessed me before and he don't ever have to bless me again to prove himself. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to find someone that's hurting. They found you. They got you here. You got your blessing. Now it's time to share what God gave you. I said it's time to share what God gave you. I believe with all of my heart. I am challenged in my spirit right now because of this meeting that I just left. I am challenged in my spirit because I know that in this end time that God is going to call men and women to the ministry. Now when I say ministry, I'm not talking about you're going to have to stand behind this pulpit. I'm talking about men and women that are going to hit the streets unashamed. Oh, don't just clap your hands if you believe what I'm saying. I'm talking about men and women that are unashamed. But before we can get the mindset that allows us to do that, we have to step outside of ourselves and tell the enemy, quit messing with my blessing. Devil, you can't have my hallelujah. You can't destroy my dedication to the house of God because I have made up my mind to serve the Lord. A made-up mind has the ability to charge and to challenge someone. Let me tell you what God's looking for. I'm going to jump forward a little bit. Brother Ben, if you'll help me out, I want you to find 2 Kings 4, 1 through 6. Let's get you a microphone. Let me show you what God is looking for. 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 6.
Now there cried a certain woman.
Hold on. Number one, before we even start, what happened? A cry took place. Mom, there ain't a devil in hell that can steal your miracle from you when you cry. Go on.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.
Freeze. The creditor has come. The one who feels that it is owed to him, the one that feels that he has the right to take something that's not his. I'm talking to people today that in your life, it looks like the creditor has come. He's not come to try to take a dollar or two. He's not come to try to rob you of a little bit of sickness, but he has come to try to take your children. I don't know why I'm feeling this in the Holy Ghost right now. I believe with all my heart, I guess it's because we had just built this sanctuary. And there is no reason in heaven, there's no reason on earth that this place should have an empty chair in it. There's no reason why we should be sitting beside empty chairs. When God has done what he has done, when God has healed the way he has healed, when God has blessed the way he has blessed, and then with many miracles that we have witnessed in this house, there is not one reason that I can see that we should be sitting beside empty chairs. But somewhere along the line, the creditor came. Go ahead.
And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee?
Let's freeze again. You see, a lot of times we don't want to approach God, and we don't want to approach his word. We don't want to approach his miracle working hands until it seems like the creditor has come. Elisha's standing there. He's saying, what do you want me to do? What do you want? Hadn't heard from you till now. Now, what's going on? What's happening? Let me tell you, Elisha, I'm in a terrible situation. I'm in a terrible problem. Now that I'm in a terrible problem, I'm crying. Now that I'm in a terrible situation, I'm reaching. You see, God knows how to get someone on their knees. We don't like to hear that. We do not like to hear that because we want to know. We want to see that God is a miracle worker. He is a miracle worker. And we want to see the blessings and the signs and the wonders. But we don't realize sometimes that God desires you more than you to be blessed, more than you to be rich, more than you to be able to afford a new car, more than you to be able to afford great things, more than you be able to go on vacations. God wants you to be on your knees.
Right.
He wants to know you. And God has a way of making his people hit their knees. Keep going.
Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil.
All I've got is this. All I've got is just one pot of oil. All I've got is just one little thing that I cherish, and it's the most valuable thing that I've got. Just this little pot of oil. Many of you have probably come to this house here tonight and you don't have much. You don't have a lot. Maybe you just, but you have something. You have something that's of value. All I have is this. You know what? I believe there's people in here that maybe all you've got is just a desire. All you've got is a heart that you can say, God, I've just got this. Let me give it to you. What can you do with it? Keep going.
Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out.
Okay. She went. He told her, go, go. I know you need a miracle, but I'm going to show you something right now, that in the midst of you going and finding someone, God's going to bless you. Your miracle is going to happen because you're willing to go. You're willing to step outside before you receive your blessing. You know, I believe with all my heart that she probably stood there and she thought, can this just happen right now? I'd really like to see it right now instead of working. I've been working hard. The creditor's on his way. You don't think I love my kids? You don't think that I work hard? Yes, you work hard. But are you willing to go in the middle of your fear, in the middle of your worry? Are you ready? Are you willing to step outside of your fear and go to the house of the Lord? Are you willing to stand in his presence and say, God, you're still a mighty God. God, you're still my healer. God, you're still my deliverer. Yeah, I know times might not be good right now. Times might be difficult right now. But God, I'm still here to give you praise, glory, and honor. Why? Because God has commissioned us to go. Keep reading.
And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed.
There's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Pastors mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention again because it is so, so, so very true. I told you, what is God looking for to pour out a blessing upon? He's looking for an empty vessel. Let's all stand. He's looking for an empty vessel. He's looking for the one that says, you know what, I don't have anything, God. I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the fancy ride. I don't have the finances. That's okay. That's fine. He's looking for an empty vessel. He's simply looking for someone that can say, you know what, God, if you can use anything, you can use me. Oh God, I just. You see, because there's something interesting about God. God can do all things. We know this. God can perform any miracle. God can do anything. But there's one thing that he chooses not to do. And that's to try to fill something that's already full. He won't pour into something that's already full. He won't try to interfere with how you feel things ought to be and how you feel things ought to go. He won't try to interfere with your ideology of how prayer and fasting should be in your life. He won't interfere with how you feel your commitments ought to be. He won't interfere. No. No, he won't interfere. But the very moment that you decide, you know what, God? I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of this junk. I'm tired of this way of thinking. I'm tired of this way I used to be. I'm tired of who I was. I'm tired. Let me just begin to pull all this out and just begin to toss it aside. What's going to happen? As soon as you empty yourself. That's why we have an altar. Because when we come to the altar, we cry out to God and we begin to pour out who we are upon the altar. And as soon as we empty ourselves of our own thinking, something happens. The floodgates of heaven open up, and when they open up, he begins to pour out upon us everything that we've been praying for. He begins to pour out upon us our miracles. He begins to pour out upon us our blessings. And I believe with all my heart that there's someone in this house here tonight that is desiring to receive something special from God. But before you have the ability to receive something special from God, you've got to tear away what seems to be right. Elijah and Elisha, as soon as he was carried off a chariot of fire to heaven, threw down his garment. And when the man of God picked it up, the Bible says that he rent his own clothes. He rent his own seams. He tore it up. You see, when we come here to this altar, we leave what we picked up in the world behind. We don't go here holding on to the world and trying to grab the hand of God. That's where people can slip up. That's where young people can slip up. It's because they try so hard to hold on to the opinion of people. If I could just be kind of like this person, but still show up to church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, then everything's fine. I'm living in the middle. I've got a little bit of a blessing, and I've still got my friends. I've got a little bit of what God desires, but I've still got this. And not only young people, but adults alike, and myself included. I mean, we try. Sometimes it seems like we try to hold on to what God has called you to be, but then yet you look at other things, you think, my goodness, it'd be so nice to have that if I could just hold on to that. I need that. I got to have that. Why do you need that? Why do you need that? You need that because there's an enemy out there that's trying to mess with your blessing. And your blessing is this right here. It's not even yours. Hear me now. This might sound a little odd, but I found this today. Your blessing is not even you receiving something, but yet someone receiving something that you gave. Because your blessing isn't here. Your blessing is when we get called up to heaven and we stand at that gate and the Lord says, enter in, thy good and faithful servant. And those doors swing wide open and we begin to walk. And then all of a sudden something taps us on the shoulder and we turn around and we look and there's people that are behind us that are saying, thank you, Brother Carson. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for how you spoke to me. Thank you for how you took time out of your schedule to call me. Thank you how you stepped outside of what everybody else was doing and you told me about truth. I just want to thank you. That's your blessing. And if the enemy can weave into the middle of the network of worries and fears here on this earth, then he can mess with your blessing. Landmark, it is time that we not only become casual soul winners, but we become aggressive soul winners. ones that are unashamed of the gospel of Christ, ones that go out there in the highways and the byways, and when we find them, we say, no, listen, you got to understand, I don't want to just be your friend. I've got to share something with you that did something so great for me. I've got to share something with you that's going to carry you, that's going to bless you, that's going to heal you, that's going to restore you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It might sound simple, Landmark, but this is what it's going to take to fill this house. And we don't want to fill this house just for the numbers, but we want to fill this house because when that day comes and that trumpet sounds, I want to walk through the gates of heaven knowing that I am carrying with me my blessing. Those that I reached out to, those that I found, those that I taught. But right here and right now, I've got to make a commitment and I've got to tell the enemy, quit messing with my blessing. So as you're preparing yourself right now, I believe, with what God, for what God is about to do, these altars are open, but this is why it's open. Guests and visitors, this altar is open for you to receive anything that you want from God. But to Landmark, myself included, this platform included, this altar is open for a challenge. This altar is open for the Lord to call whosoever will into what He is calling you to do, and that's to be a soul winner. I'm commissioning someone right now to become a soul winner. I'm charging someone right now to be a soul winner. I'm not going to call you anymore. I'm not going to tell you get up here, but I'm calling someone right now to the call of God to become a soul winner. I bind the hands of the enemy that may try to tell you that you can't do anything because you're too fearful. I bind the hands of the enemy that will try to tell you that that's not who you are, that you're not the type of person that's aggressive. You're not the type of person that has the ability to talk because it's embarrassing. You're not that kind of person. I bind the hands of the enemy that may be trying to steal your blessing, because there is no greater blessing than knowing that you found someone and brought them to the house of God and they were baptized in that wonderful name. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues, and they found themselves in a place to where they were receiving exactly what God had for them.
Demons have to flee when I say Jesus. Sickness has
come on,
to
somebody.
Heal when I say Jesus.
Come on, somebody. I'm talking to the church.
Every knee will bow before.
Young people, you're on a timeline.
Every tongue.
You've only got a little bit of time left.
It's worthy.
Mom, Dad, that person you work with, they're waiting on you.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Something special, supernatural about the name Jesus. Have to flee when I say Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh yes. Sickness has to heal when I say Jesus.
Jesus.
Every knee will bow before and every tongue proclaim His worthy praise. That matchless name of Jesus. Something special, supernatural about the name Jesus. Something happens when I mention your name. Oh, when I call upon your name. Jesus, something happened. They have to flee when I say, Jesus.
Yes.
Sickness has to heal when I say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Every knee will bow before, and every tongue proclaim its worthy praise. That matchless name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Something special, supernatural about the name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you believe it, clap your hands. I am believing that this year is going to be the year of greater revival. I'm believing that this year is also going to be the year of a greater challenge for each and every one of us, a charge for each and every one of us. I talked this morning about advancing through adversity. This is the year we're going to advance. This house should be full. Do you believe it? This house should be full. But it's only going to be full if we go find them. Lay aside every other opinion, every thought. Listen, if you are jumping back and forth between thinking, is this home, is this not? This is home. This is why you're here. The reason that you're here is because God has drawn you to this place. The Bible says that no one comes to His presence unless the Spirit draws them. So you want to know who got you here? God got you here. He's a good soul winner. But also when He takes you somewhere, I wouldn't want to walk away from it. God bless each and every single one of you. Let's get on the phone. Let's call people. Let's go to their home. Beat their door down if you have to. Get them here Tuesday night for Bible study night. And let's see the revival that God has in store for us this year. God bless you.